You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization saying that the coronavirus is going to be much more severe and threatening and could impact the world economy. They're looking at major auto production in Asia, China, Japan, shutting down because of fear of spreading coronavirus. And that in turn would affect the U.S. economy and the world economy. And now the latest number coming out of China admitting more than 1,000 killed by the coronavirus. That's what we're being told. There are also stories coming out that many cases are being hidden and that people are being welded shut in their homes so they can't leave and spread the disease. Last night, President Trump was at a rally in New Hampshire and got a great enthusiastic welcome. He could have stayed there all night, except he had to leave for something very important. He wanted to get back to Dover Air Force Base as two Green Berets were returned to American soil, their flag-draped coffins bringing them home after they were killed in Afghanistan. And the president wanted to be there with them. I'm glad he was. We're still waiting for more information on this shooting that went down in New York City the other day. A gunman opening fire inside a police precinct, striking one officer just hours after another officer had been shot and injured in his patrol car in what appeared to be an assassination. What they're saying in New York City with many police officers, that Bill de Blasio and his indifferent attitude toward crime is making police officers targets. Oh, and also, what else is going to happen to this 27-year-old who drove the van into that tent housing supporters for President Trump in Florida? As I told you, he went into court yesterday smiling, all happy. And I've yet to see a major mainstream media outlet report on this guy crashing his van into a tent filled with Trump and GOP supporters simply set up in a parking lot trying to register folks to vote. If it had been opposite, if it had been a Bernie Sanders or a Joe Biden registration or any Democrat registration, and some guy drove a van into them, they would be all over it with their mainstream coverage. And even if the guy were not a Trump supporter, they'd be looking for a way to plaster a Trump sticker on his bumper. But for this case, they ignore it. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol reporting the number of migrants illegally crossing the border between ports of entry down in January by more than 11%. That's an 8-month decline continuing. Why? Because this president made very clear to Mexico, you better start doing more on your side to keep these caravans coming from Central America through Mexico, then trying to get across our border, and you better do something more on your side of the border to keep illegals from crossing into our country. He still wants the wall, put it into his budget, and we should have it. And it's important. The president is wanting at least enough cash to build 1,000 miles of the border wall. And it's not just stopping illegals. Customs and Border Patrol also reporting cartels are having to shift their narcotic smuggling because we have seized a new record of methamphetamines and fentanyl on the U.S.-Mexico border, recording more drug seizures than previously. Why? Because we're doing what needs to be done. A majority of small business owners certainly like what the president's been doing with his job performance and the 2017 tax cuts. According to a recent Gallup poll, 69% of small business owners say they have benefited from the 2017 tax cuts that President Trump championed and then signed into law. One expert said 2020 is off to an explosive start for the small business economy. Owners expecting increased sales, earnings, and higher wages for employees, which means those working at these small businesses could look for an increase in their checks. Making America great again, baby, and we are doing it.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers had opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Democrats, floundering as they are, trying to figure out how do we beat Donald Trump, are lost in one of the most basic premises you think would be something that would be solid footing for them. And that is fighting against crime and drugs. But see, they are so interested in pandering to anybody who might give them a vote, they're totally lost on that issue. They may preach, we're going to make your community safe. They may preach that we're going to make sure the bad guys are taken off the streets and they serve their time. But they don't really mean it. They do not mean it. And in fact, when they want to have inmates currently housed in prisons have a right to vote, that should tell you everything. That should tell you that they're only interested in what do I do to get another vote. And if there's a prison in a state, if I could get everyone in that prison to vote for me, that might help swing electoral votes. They are so confused. If you're going to be honest about it, you recognize that, yes, sometimes law enforcement has gone overboard and been abusive. We all are going to recognize that. But you don't reshape everything, policies, and your attitude toward police and law enforcement because of those cases. You zero in on them, you deal with them, you correct them, you punish those who are involved in themselves breaking the law, but you don't throw everything out. It is as simple as that old adage, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We have Attorney General William Barr. just yesterday, filing lawsuits against politicians in a sanctuary state in New Jersey and King County, Washington, pointing out these sanctuary ideas and policies are neither lawful nor sensible. Now, why would a state or city or county want to have a sanctuary law? Well, first of all, they think that our federal illegal, our immigration laws are wrong. That is not for the state to determine, nor the city nor the county. That's a federal law. You might not like another particular federal law, such as having to pay taxes, but I don't think you're going to be able to get your state to sign off on we're going to be a sanctuary from federal taxes in this state. The Attorney General Barr made it clear. The reality up front, as clearly as possible, when we're talking about sanctuary cities, we're talking about policies designed to allow criminal aliens to escape. These policies are not about people who came to our country illegally, but have otherwise been peaceful and productive members of society. The express purpose is to shelter aliens whom law enforcement has already arrested for other crimes. This is neither lawful nor sensible. You would think everybody would understand that. But Democrats, they don't know where should I be on this, where do I go? I mean, I want to be a sanctuary city and county. I want to be for less invasive policing and so forth, and yet I've got to stand there and say I'm for law and order. Perfect example is Mayor Bloomberg when he was serving as mayor, and of course now Michael Bloomberg running for the White House. Michael Bloomberg, in a speech in 2015, was talking about to a group and pointing out that 95% of murders and murder victims all have the same MO. He's basically saying 95% of murders and murder victims are all similar. They're similar in so many ways, from the perpetrator to the criminal to the neighborhood. It's going to be a little hard to hear his remarks, but please listen.
You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male, minorities, 15 to 21. That's true in New York. It's true in virtually every city in America. It's one of the unintended consequences is...
Let's kill it. That audio sounded better here than it is going out to you. Basically, what he was saying, we have these crimes happening in particular neighborhoods, which are minority. We have the victims being a particular makeup, minority primarily. We have the perpetrators primarily being minority. The drug trafficking in these neighborhoods is predominantly involving minorities. And we send police into these areas because that's where the crime is. They were not in there just trying to harass people, but that's where the crime is. His point should be well taken and accepted. And it was. It was fine with him at that point when he was serving as mayor of New York, saying, look, we're going in the areas where you need to have criminal enforcement. And the argument should be that everyone deserves a safe community. Do you want a crack house next door to you? There are residents in this community where I'm speaking right now that have that situation. They're trying to raise a family. They're doing their level best. Mom and dad maybe both working, operating shifts back and forth to take care of the kids. They're doing everything they can. They're not slackers. They are working from dawn to dusk and beyond to provide for their family and keep them safe, but they can only do so much and be there so many times. And if you've got gangsters and thugs running up and down the streets, flashing their pistols and dropping their pants below their butt so they can look big and mean and dangerous, they have very little chance to get their kids out of there alive, much less get them proper education and protection. They are among the first who should be demanding more and better police protection. You want to preach Black Lives Matter, you look at the black lives that are at threat in some of these communities. But when Bloomberg made those remarks back in 2015, they were taken one way. But now that he's running for the White House, now you've got folks coming out saying such racist attitude, a racist attitude. And even Donna Brazile, former DNC interim head after Wasserman Schultz was dumped, former CNN analyst until it was unveiled that she gave and tipped questions to Hillary in advance of the debates. She's now an analyst. I saw her on Fox News. Did they hire this woman as an analyst? If so, that's stupid. But if they wanted, for whatever reason, she's on appearing on Fox News, and she was talking about Bloomberg's remarks in 2015 and how now they are being seen.
I think the mayor has more explaining to do. It's one thing to go into a black church and say, look, I'm sorry, but it's another thing when people will figure out that over 600,000 people were stopped, black and Latinos. Look, I have an uncle who was a cop in New York and a first cousin. So I know this is not about law enforcement. It's about a policy that was found unconstitutional. Unconstitutional, and 9 out of 10 of those individuals were innocent. So imagine being stopped. I mean, most people don't get this. It's not only humiliating, but when you're innocent, you're being stereotyped because of the color of your skin, and it's wrong. So I think he has a little bit more explaining to do.
And they're going to hold him to it. They plan to hold him up on that, his attitude from those remarks I was quoting a moment ago, and, of course, the stop and frisk issue. The stop and frisk program exploding into a national controversy during his administration. And she's right, there was something like nearly 700,000 stops that peaked in 2011. Some officers didn't like doing it because they felt it makes us look like an enemy of the people to begin with. Other officers realized, well, there's a value to it because, you know, this person could be carrying a weapon, illegal weapon. And we catch them now, we take them off the street. But, of course, as Donna Brazile and others were suddenly crying out, well, you're targeting them because of their color of their skin. Bloomberg was talking about where the crime is found, where the victims are similar, and the perpetrators are similar, and you're trying to protect the innocents and get the guilty off the street, the dangerous. The stop and frisk issue, of course, became a big question as to how legal it was. They had lawsuits filed, and it basically came down to, as the U.S. Supreme Court made the ruling on it in the case Terry v. Ohio in 68, that while frisks were arguably illegal, a police officer could only search someone who had been arrested unless there was a search warrant. But in the 80s, if an officer had a reasonable suspicion of a possible crime, had the authority to stop someone and ask questions. And if the subject's answers did not satisfy the officer, they consider it leading to a possible cause for arrest. That was only a stopping question. The frisk part didn't come into play, except if they suspected the person might be carrying a weapon. And then all of that changed in the 90s when several high-ranking police officers started incorporating stop, question, and frisk, put it all together, put it what they call the broken windows policing. The theory again here, very similar to what Bloomberg was suggesting a moment ago. Low-level crime and disorder creates an environment that leads to more serious crimes. And if you have certain parts of the neighborhood and area, we have broken windows and abandoned buildings, you're going to have a higher import of crime. How do you balance that to enforce the law and yet not abuse rights? Well, that's why the Constitution is there. That's why the lawsuits end up being filed. And yes, there is no doubt there are cases, documented cases, where police have made their decisions based simply because they didn't like the way the guy had his pants hanging down around his butt. And I would have to agree, it would upset me too, but that's not a reason to stop and frisk. If you see the butt of a handgun, yeah. Of course, I will tell you this, and I've said it repeatedly, these kids who think they look so sharp with their pants dangling down around and having to hold their pants up with one hand while they're walking, they can't run very far if they're guilty of anything. They're going to trip up. You think they would learn that? And many of them don't even know where that originated. They don't know that that originated inside prisons, that that was a way you, as an inmate, could let another inmate or others know that you were available for sex. They don't even know what they're doing in many cases. But you can't stop for that basis. And you can't stop someone just because you think that you've heard they might have been carrying drugs. You're going to have to have something more specific. Which brings us to the issue of how the Democrats don't know what to do about drugs. And one of their leading candidates at this point running, I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, you're going to hear from Mayor Pete Buttigieg as he's trying to explain why he thinks possession of heroin should be decriminalized. Why? Is that going to get you some more votes for the heroin community? I wouldn't know his reasoning other than he thinks that it's just not right to treat heroin addicts that way. We'll take a break, and you'll hear from him when we return.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So as we were discussing in the prior segment, Michael Bloomberg in 2015 defending stop and frisk and even throwing minority kids against the wall if needed to be to get control of them. Now he's running as a candidate for the White House on the Democrat ticket. And now he's trying to apologize for backing that policy. Why? Because he fears it will hurt him with minority voters, you think? And, of course, Donna Brazil, former CNN analyst and Democrat operative, says that Bloomberg has more explaining to do. In other words, he's clearly being racist at this point. Was then and might still be. President Trump responded on that. I'll get to that in a moment. But why would Bloomberg believe it was the right thing to do then and not now? Because he's running for the White House. And how can I pick up some more votes? And how do I get the black community to support me? On one hand, you would think the black community would support him because he was making their community safer. But the Democrats, again, they're not on any solid footing when it comes to how they go about dealing with crime. And everything has an explanation and a reason and an acceptance. Example, Mayor Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana. No longer mayor there, of course. But in an interview with Chris Wallace over the weekend, he was reiterating that as president, he would decriminalize all drug possession. All drug possession would be decriminalized. Now, see, they've already gone along the idea that we would decriminalize crossing into our country illegally across the border. That would no longer be a crime. You might get a summons or a ticket, but not a crime. Now, decriminalize all drug possession. And thousands of drug traffickers then could plead down to possession of drugs. You catch a drug dealer, he says, take away the weapons charges, take away the charges I was dealing, I'll just go with possession, and I can go free because you're going to decriminalize that, right? Let's hear some of the exchange that took place between Buttigieg and Wallace.
Possession should not be dealt with through incarceration.
But you would say that possession of heroin is not illegal.
Is not going to be dealt with through incarceration.
But your website says decriminalize. It would not be illegal.
Yes, or it could be a misdemeanor.
It could be a misdemeanor? A misdemeanor. See, what he's trying to say, we're not going to criminalize you for having heroin, being in possession of it or other drugs, because that's not going to really help you with treatment. That's not a point where you worry about treatment, my friend. That's where you get them off the street, because if they're using, they're probably also dealing. And if they're using, they're giving to some others, even if they're not getting money in return. You would have to be absolutely naive to think it doesn't happen that way. Now, I mentioned that President Trump had a response to Bloomberg suddenly trying to turn around and back off of his 2015 remark defending stop and frisk. And what the president did, kind of funny. And then he did something that folks didn't think he would ever do. Not ever. I'll explain when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before we wrap up this hour, I'm going to tell you why Colin Kaepernick really doesn't want to play football anymore. I don't think. And I think I've got the perfect proof of it. And also, in the state of Virginia, it is illegal, if you're not married, to have sex. I kid you not. I'll have that for you before we wrap up the hour. Now, we were just talking about how Michael Bloomberg, while he was mayor, was running the stop and frisk programs, and how he was on a speech in 2015 saying it's a good thing to do because we go where the crime is and it's always the same MO, same perpetrators, same victims, and same situation every time. And he's being called a racist because of that. Well, President Trump put out a tweet as he saw this news going on about Bloomberg that Donna Brazile, a former CNN analyst and also Democrat operative, saying that Bloomberg's got a lot more explaining to do about the stop and frisk. Now Bloomberg wants to try to say, well, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done it because now he's running as president and he needs votes. And so he's trying to back away from it. But Brazil says that's not enough. And others on the Democrat side are saying the same thing, because if you can label someone a racist, you know, you can destroy them, or at least you can try. Especially inside the Democrat Party. So Trump, in watching all of this, put out a tweet, wow, Bloomberg is a total racist. Now later he took it down. That tweet was put up as the audio first emerged from 2015 of how Bloomberg was all in favor of stop and frisk, and generally, majority of the 700,000 were black Americans. That was when the audio emerged, and everybody started saying, well, Bloomberg, you got some splaining to do here. And his splaining is not doing enough for some Democrats. So Trump jumped on the same bandwagon, said, wow, Bloomberg is a total racist. But then later he took that tweet down. No explanation. But it appears he decided, you know, I probably shouldn't do that. So for those of you who thought Trump would not withdraw a tweet once he puts it up, he did. Didn't he make a full apology for anything? Nope, didn't do that. We're not going that far off into the woods. Just the fact that he took it down. Something else that is out there that the Democrats want to see taken down has its origin with Nancy Pelosi. That was, of course, at the end of the State of the Union address the other night, where she stood behind the president as a crowd was shouting his support, Republicans anyway, and applauding him for that fantastic State of the Union of speech. She's standing back there ripping his speech to shreds, tearing a piece of paper, picking up another one, tearing it in half. Well, I guess she thought at the time, this is what I should do, because in her words, as she explained later, there are nothing but lies in this speech. Well, in the process of that speech, he was honoring a 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman, General Charles McGee, and he was also honoring other stories about Americans that had done something great or suddenly were being recognized for what they had been through, and honoring a fourth grade girl, a young black girl who was now going to have a chance to go to a school of her choice with a school voucher. So Nancy Pelosi ripped all of that up. Then someone decided to put a little video together, and they would show a clip of the president honoring the Tuskegee Airmen, and then show Nancy ripping the speech apart. And then they would show the president talking about that fourth grader suddenly having a chance to have a better life and go to a better school, and show her ripping it up again. And then a story of someone who had lost a loved one in Afghanistan or in war against ISIS, and again show her ripping it up with a this thing took off and took a life of its own. It got 11 million views on Twitter, 3+ million views on Facebook, 4 million views on Instagram, and of course the Democrats are incensed, saying you're making it look like she's ripping the speech as he's actually saying it. What difference in the world does it make now anyway, to quote Hillary Benghazi Clinton? What's the problem? Congressman Mark Meadows, Republican, said Democrats are demanding Twitter take the video down. They don't want Speaker Pelosi held accountable for publicly ripping up the president's address and the stories of Americans for cheap political points. And even Congressman Paul Brand said, let me make sure I got the right quote here. No, Paul Gosar said, Nancy Pelosi wants this video taken down. She would be really mad if you retweeted it. In other words, encouraging folks to continue to retweet it, send it back out. Now, Facebook says that it would remove video only if it's been edited or synthesized beyond adjustments for clarity or quality, in ways that aren't apparent to an average person, would likely mislead someone into thinking that a subject of the video said words they did not actually say. So they didn't remove it because it didn't meet their criteria. Twitter didn't remove it, but a spokesman said the company will provide warning labels reading manipulated media. Yeah, we're going to need that a lot. You need to get that phrase ready for everything coming out of CNN and NNN and the rest of the horde in the future. Manipulated media, because they're all manipulated by the Democrats, for the Democrats. They are the Democrats. So Nancy Pelosi did exactly what she thought would make her legendary with the Democrats. I just took the speech and I tore it apart. Well, there's a thin line between being a hero and a villain sometimes. She has tried to get involved in damage control herself. In fact, she later sent out a note about her gratitude for Tuskegee Airmen. The Tuskegee Airmen bravely fought enemies abroad and racism at our home. Our nation is forever grateful for their heroism, fighting for the values of America, equality, justice, and opportunity. And I just ripped up that part of the speech. She did that. I did. But that's exactly what she did. And the mainstream media does not want to pick up the story. It aired that night as it happened because it was live. And they had to deal with it a little bit, but now they're on to something else. Do you imagine, riddle me this, do you imagine if when President Obama had been president, that a Republican standing behind him were to take his speech and rip it apart after he's finished? Do you not imagine there would be such a loud outcry that our ears would still be ringing all of these years later? Democrats are saying, hey, this video is doctored. We know it's doctored. No one say it happened like that. It's not just a joke. It's a fun joke. But Democrats don't like it because they are the object of the joke. In fact, Congressman Don Beyer, Democrat, said this video is doctored. It's been up and pinned to the president's page for nearly a day. Trump posted it to deceive Americans about Speaker Pelosi's actions and record. No, no, no. It does not deceive Americans about her actions and record. It is right there for you to see. But he goes on to say, if I posted a doctored video, it would be a clear violation of House rules. I doubt it. Not since the Democrats control the House, it wouldn't be. So they took it and they decided to insert her tearing it up at the very time he's reading various proclamations or praises for either the little girl that now has a chance to go to a school of her choice, get a better education, or the 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman, who is now one of the last surviving members of the Tuskegee Airmen. The director of strategic communications for Trump's reelection campaign said, if Nancy Pelosi doesn't like the video of her ripping it up, she should have thought of it before she did it. Amen. Amen. All right, does Kaepernick really want to play football anymore? And what about this law in Virginia that if you're not married, you can't have sex? Please stand by. Still to come.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Colin Kaepernick, of course, wants to play in football again. I want to be a quarterback. I want to be. And he had all these teams gathering earlier this year to watch him try out and then change the schedule at the last minute. And some of the teams are going to watch him kind of got lost in the shuffle, and they thought, maybe he doesn't really want to. He last played football in 2016. He opted out of a contract with the 49ers in March of 2017. Apparently, given the expectation the 49ers would have released him if he had remained with the team anyway, he would have had a base salary of $14.5 million, a cap of over $19 million for the 2017 under his last contract. He might be making, as of last year, maybe $20 million a year as it is for money still coming in over the contract. It's hard to say, but then, of course, he's got his Nike endorsement with a swoosh logo and so forth. So he's not hurting. But if he wants to play football, XFL is in play. There's a great opportunity for Kaepernick to get in. I mean, this XFL is drawing already, has a good turnout. Folks were surprised about how good it could be. Well, it turns out that they had actually talked to Kaepernick. The XFL commissioner, Oliver Luck, said, "We did approach Kaepernick. We gave it some thought. But we're a startup league, and we need to be financially and fiscally responsible." And his demands were a little high. In other words, he wanted a lot of money, which we don't pay. I think I read or heard somewhere that the players are, if they play, they're guaranteed an extra bonus. If they win, they get a little bit more. But they're still looking at maybe at the most per game, they might get $15,000. I might be off of those numbers. I didn't pay particular attention to it. But if Kaepernick wants to play, wouldn't he just go out there and do it for the love of the game? That's the whole idea of the XFL, for the love of football. No, he's not going to do that because it would be beneath him. Because if I play, I want to be paid big money. Or I don't play. I'd rather sit off the side and complain. That's my take on it. It really is. I think the guy just, I don't want to really suit up. I don't want to go out there and sweat and do all that anymore. But I do want the notoriety. I want to be famous and all this stuff. And I want money. But if I'm going out on your field with your XFL guys who aren't good enough to make it in the NFL, then I want more money. Which, by the way, would say, Kaepernick, you're with him because you're not good enough to be in the NFL either. All right, in Virginia, they have a law that's been on the books, and they have an effort to repeal it, House Bill 245, to get rid of this bill that they've had in Virginia. It's in the Code of Virginia. And it basically states it is a crime for unmarried couples to have sex. Last week, the Democrat state legislators in the Virginia House of Delegates repealed the crime of fornication, as it's known. Currently, it is a Class 4 misdemeanor, carries a fine of up to 250 laws. One of the delegates says, it's a stupid law. It's crazy. We all agree with it. And the Virginia Supreme Court had actually struck down the law back in 2005 as unconstitutional government intrusion. But it was still in the Code of Virginia. So now they struck it down in the House of Delegates, and they're sending it to the Senate, and they expect it to be fully and properly wiped out. Massachusetts and Utah had recently repealed similar laws. Idaho and North Carolina, by the way, still have such laws on their books. No word if they're going to do anything in Idaho or North Carolina. But in Virginia they are. And they really want to because it goes against the slogan, their travel brochure slogan. And as you enter the state of Virginia, you see the billboards and you see the signs. Welcome to Virginia. Virginia is for lovers. Well, now it might be, but up until then, maybe it needed an asterisk. Is for lovers if you're married. So they're going to get rid of it. What say you, Idaho and North Carolina? What are you going to do? You know, you can always go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and add comments either during the program or as you listen to podcasts. Many times folks put something up after the show aired, and I don't get a chance to see it because they put it up after they listen to the podcast. We had one the other day talking about how corrupt the media is, how they're trying to smear President Trump. One comment coming in from Bill at the time said, "This is shameless propaganda slanted far left with all the needless banners on every broadcast of CNN, nowhere near news." I agree, Bill. And Randy said, "Keep pressing on, Larry." I will, Randy. And to anyone else who wants to write comments at Larry Connors USA Facebook, these programs will be up as a podcast in just a few moments. Again, we appreciate you listening. And of course, be back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.